Testing 103, testing. Thomas C. McKnight, Jr. I'm dictating a neurological report. It's on patient Jeffrey Champlin, C-H-A-M-P-L-I-N. Jeffrey's address is 4399 COPTA Road, Corning, California, 96021. Phone 530-831-324-3611. ID XXX-XX-8242. Date of birth is 9/21/1952. 70-year-old divorced attorney. Insurance is Medicare / Blue Cross. Pharmacy is Walgreens in Corning. It is addressed to Dr. Kurt Johnson, MD, Family Medicine. Mangrove Medical Group, 1040 Mangrove Avenue, Chico, California, 95926. Phone 530-345-0064. Fax 530-345-0680. Clinical indication is neurological evaluation with history and findings of transient dysarthria. Subparagraph, recent history of the sudden onset of asymmetric right fifth digit motor weakness improved with acupuncture therapy over a period of time. Comorbid medical problems, atrial fibrillation. History of venous clot, remote history of San Joaquin Valley fever, hypertension, history of lung mass, treated sleep apnea, history of deep venous thrombosis, dyslipidemia, history of coagulation disorder, history of coronary artery disease, gastroesophageal reflux disease. Recent findings, cardiac pacemaker, previous surgeries, total knee arthroplasty, dental surgery, eye surgery, cosmetic surgery. Subparagraph, history of possible prediabetes. Dear Dr. Johnson, thank you for referring Jeffrey C. Champlin, C-H-A-M-P-L-I-N, for neurological evaluation. Subparagraph, the contrast, non-contrast neuroquant evaluation that was completed at the Halo Imaging Center was nearly unremarkable, with the identification of some ventricular dilatation and generalized atrophy with a slight increase in optic sheath size that may be seen with increased intracranial pressure. There was opacification of the ethmoid sinuses, no clinical history of evaluation or treatment for chronic sinusitis with antibiotics. Spinal fluid examination demonstrated elevated herpes virus 1/2 IgG consistent with remote herpes virus infection. Subparagraph, there is a familial history. His wife has had herpes virus. He gave an additional history that his wife also had chronic herpes virus that may have contributed to this finding. Considering his severe headaches and right arm paresthesias, with his complaints of persistent medial lateral pain in the upper arm, he received a 5-day treatment course of azithromycin, a trial of antiviral therapy for 1 month, MR imaging of the cervical spine with and without contrast shows severe restriction on the right side bending and rotation of the neck. The remainder of the spinal fluid laboratory antiviral studies were unremarkable. His arm symptoms on the left did not appear to be precipitated by activity or exercise, but are new. He complained of cognitive decline, and in consideration of testing for dementia-related risk factors, the Alzheimer's detect beta amyloid 42/40 ratio in the plasma was 496, while the capital A, capital V beta 42/40 ratio was low, and the Alzheimer's detect for related tau, T-A-U, 217 in the plasma was elevated. This assessment of the likelihood of amyloid plaque deposition in the brain is abnormal and elevated, while complementary West Nile virus antibody IgG in the CSF was normal. All the IgM values were low. The overall herpes virus 1/2 antibody screen, IgG, in the CSF was increased. The IgG antibody in the CSF was low. While the coccidioides IgM antibody in the serum was normal, consistent with a past infection. No antibodies were detected in the CSF, where the culture showed no growth. Reflex capital T pallidum, C-A-L-L-I-D-U-M, was non-reactive. Herpes virus antibody IgG in the CSF was negative. IgM and IgG by immunoblot were also negative. The coccidioides antibody by complement fixation was less than 1:2, suggesting past or current infection. The Cardio IQ showed borderline increase in total cholesterol, HDL, and triglycerides, with elevated overall LDL cholesterol, with elevated apolipoprotein, elevated hemoglobin A1c of 5.8, and an increased insulin resistance score. These findings are consistent with vascular inflammation, elevated cholesterol buildup, borderline insulin sensitivity, and prediabetes following his hospitalization in November 2025, which at that time identified a venous clot in the left calf. Findings of blood coagulation disorder, coronary artery disease, deep venous thrombosis, hypercholesterolemia, hypertension, a lung mass, pneumonia, San Joaquin Valley fever, scarlet fever, and findings of sleep apnea while using CPAP therapy in consideration for his evaluation of cognitive decline, where there were values found to be positive where further testing was indicated. He was referred for amyloid PET CT imaging to exclude the findings of Alzheimer's disease, requiring further investigation. He is scheduled for reevaluation with those findings and he completed amyloid PET CT imaging of the brain on May 7, 2026, which showed normal white matter uptake, no abnormal radiotracer uptake in the gray matter. The contrast between the gray and white matter was well preserved, with no abnormal radiotracer uptake in the cerebellum. Concurrent CT imaging of the brain showed no visible mass. There was some mild cortical atrophy with ventricular prominence. Standardized quantification by software showed an average all caps SUV small r value of 0.9 which was within normal values representing a negative amyloid brain scan, MR imaging of the lumbar spine on August 14, 2025. showed no evidence for vertebral body fracture or scoliosis. The distal spinal cord, conus medullaris, and cauda equina were normal. The L5S1 grade 1 antrolisthesis associated with bilateral L5 pars interarticularis defects showed evidence for L4-L5 chronic degenerative spinal canal stenosis, right greater than left, at L3-L4 and bilaterally at L4-L5. And get them organized.
Yeah, here you go. I'm going to lay down while you finish these.
Okay.
I'll get up in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
We have hair tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh.
What?
I really have to take some hairs out of your ears.
Yeah. L5S1 showed chronic degenerative neuroforaminal narrowing with multi-level facet joint hypertrophy L3 to S1 interspinous narrowing and L1-S1 annular fissuring representing specific axial low back pain generators. New paragraph, the study showed evidence for metabolic syndrome. His overall study showed diffuse subcutaneous, retroperitoneal, and intraperitoneal adipose expansion in a pattern consistent with metabolic syndrome. Exclusion of high carbohydrate load was considered. With risk factors for insulin resistance, which would be treatable. New paragraph at different disc levels. There was annular fissuring and partial disc desiccation at L1-S1. Disc bulge and osteophyte complex with mild facet hypertrophy contributing to mild to moderate spinal canal stenosis and mild foraminal narrowing at L1-L2. Disc osteophyte complex at L2-L3, mild to moderate facet hypertrophy with mild to moderate ligamentum flavum buckling, dorsal epidural adipose displacement, contributing to mild to moderate foraminal narrowing, and moderate canal stenosis at L3-L4, at L3-L4, there was a 3-millimeter disc ossified complex eccentric to the right with mild to moderate facet hypertrophy, mild to moderate ligamentum flavum buckling, and dorsal epidural adipose displacement contributing to moderate to severe right-sided and mild to moderate left-sided foraminal narrowing, moderate to severe right-sided and moderate to left-sided subarticular zone stenosis with moderate canal spinal stenosis. At L4-L5, there was a 3 to 4 millimeter disc ossified complex, comma, moderate facet hypertrophy, comma, and mild to moderate ligamentum flavum buckling, contributing to moderate focal narrowing and moderate to severe subarticular zone stenosis with mild central canal stenosis. New paragraph, at L5S1, a 3 to 4 millimeter grade 1 antrolisthesis, comma, 3 to 4 millimeter disc ossified complex, comma, moderate to severe decreased disc height and marginal osteophytes, with facet hypertrophy contributing to severe right-sided and moderate to severe left-sided foraminal narrowing with an overall patent spinal canal. Left hip radiography for hip pain showed no displaced fracture, alignment being anatomic, moderate narrowing of the hip joint space with mild acetabular spurring. Degenerative changes were present. Sutter radiography on March 18, 2025, skull base to mid-thigh, showed evidence for a pulmonary nodule, comma, renal lesion and rectal pain, that is with the history of renal lesion and rectal pain. Baseline evaluation for initial treatment strategy. The study of the chest showed right hilar nodal activity and a right subcarinal node measuring 1 by 1.4 centimeters, coronary artery calcifications, findings of a subpleural right lower lobe pulmonary nodule, 2.4 by 2.5 centimeters, with intrinsic mineralization and fat attenuation. Two additional pulmonary nodules were identified in the perifissural left lower lobe measuring 0.6 centimeters by 0.8 centimeters. Lower than PET resolution. And there was a right anterior chest wall cardiac device with distal lips in the right atrium and right ventricle. Overall impression was dominant right lower lobe pulmonary nodule measuring 2.5 centimeters with intrinsic mineralization and fat attenuation consistent with benign hamartoma, H-A-M-A-R-A-T-O-M-A. Subparagraph, additional pulmonary nodules measuring up to 0.8 centimeters were below PET resolution. Considered surveillance of the pulmonary nodules was suggested considering PET CT imaging. new paragraph. MRI scan of the brain with and without contrast on December 18, 2025. Showed evidence for mild to moderate involutional changes in the cerebral hemispheres, mild chronic microvascular ischemic changes, and a partially empty cella. Other brain findings include upper limits of normally dilated optic nerve sheaths, diameter of 6 to 7 millimeters, with overall results showing mild, small mild mastoid effusions, post-inflammatory changes of the maxillary and posterior ethmoid sinuses, mild small vessel ischemic changes, there was a suggestion for follow-up with a contrast-enhanced image, helpful for further evaluation of a hypoplastic right transverse sinus, with findings of normal flow signal in the remaining dural venous sinuses. Overall, there was evidence for multiplanar magnetic resonance imaging of the neck and ethmoid intravenous contrast with and without multiple enhancement. Borderline prominence of the submandibular glands with evidence for enlargement of the submandibular gland as ischemic cerebrovascular disease. New paragraph, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, parenthesis, capital M, small o, capital C, capital A, end parenthesis. Intelligence study showed an overall total score of 29 over 30, which is within broad limits of normal. the Alzheimer's detect A-beta-42/40 capital PTAU217 evaluation in the plasma was positive. With a very high likelihood of Alzheimer's accumulation. The value was 62/496 with a ratio of 0.125. And a value of 4.56. For a positive Alzheimer's detection score. A high likelihood of a positive amyloid PET scan in someone with cognitive impairment. Spinal fluid evaluation for West Nile virus was negative. Herpes virus 1/2 antibody screen was positive. While mumps virus IgG was negative. IgG varicella virus was negative. Coccidioides antibody IgG was elevated, parenthesis suggesting remote disease in parenthesis. CSF coccidioides was not detected. VDRL was not reactive. Borrelia was not detected. The basic LDL cholesterol was elevated at 128. Hemoglobin A1C was 5.8. Insulin resistance score was 65. The LP-PLA2 activity was elevated at 132. Suggestive increased active cholesterol buildup. And risk factors for insulin resistance. New paragraph today, we discuss Jeff Champlin's findings extensively, including his atherosclerotic risk factors, need for correction of his LDL cholesterol, prediabetes values, I indicated to him that he needed his cardiovascular follow-up with a history of atrial fibrillation, as well as reevaluation of his cholesterol risk factors, including his elevated LDL cholesterol and anticipation of initiation of treatment to bring his values down within a safety regulation regime with his LDL cholesterol between 50 and 150. New paragraph, I'll see him back for reevaluation and follow-up and any further recommendations that would be important based on his current history and values. And sign with my professional signature.